Presidential race frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. will seek the junking of the cases seeking to nullify his looming electoral victory before the Supreme Court. A former official of the Commission on Human Rights refutes Malacanang's statement. Its latest report on the country's drug war situation was rehashed. Taiwan sees an explosion in new COVID-19 cases. And the reopening of more countries again raises fears of an exodus of healthcare workers from the Philippines. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, the camp of leading presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. will push for the dismissal of pending disqualification and candidacy cancellation cases against him before the Supreme Court once he is proclaimed president. Marcos' counsel, Estelito Mendoza, asserts the High Court does not have the jurisdiction to stop the canvassing of votes for the presidential race and the proclamation of the winner. Mendoza claims the temporary restraining order plea of the petitioners has already been denied. The High Court, however, has yet to publicly release a ruling on this.
There is no provision whereby the Supreme Court can intervene on that issue at this point in time. Perhaps that will have to come when the after the proclamation, and the petitioners will then have to decide whether to abide and stick by their petition as filed by the Supreme Court, or whether the scenario has changed, and that therefore what they should be filing is an election protest before the Supreme Court, either a quorum or an ordinary election protest. We have an electoral presidential tribunal which is vested with that jurisdiction.
So far, the Supreme Court has ordered the Marcos camp, the Election Commission, and Congress to comment within 15 days on the petition for certiorari and TRO filed by civic leaders. The group sought to overturn the ruling of the poll body, which junked their plea to cancel Marcos's certificate of candidacy. A political analyst believes the Supreme Court will not issue a temporary restraining order on the canvassing of votes in the presidential race, but Attorney Pacifico Agabin, former dean of the UP College of Law, disagrees with Marcos's lawyer, who said the Supreme Court does not have jurisdiction to stop the canvassing of votes.
The will of the people has been expressed in an overwhelming way. So I suppose that in the interest of majoritarian democracy, the Supreme Court will not issue a TRO.
Despite moves to suspend the canvassing of votes for president and vice president, Congress is now making final preparations for the scheduled tallying on Monday, Sandro Ochona reports.
Where the ballot boxes containing the ERs will be stored.
For the first time in 35 years, the plenary hall of the House of Representatives was renovated in time for the canvassing on Monday for the presidential and vice presidential votes. Security around the Batasang Pambansa has been tightened. Strict health protocols are being observed. House Secretary General Mark Mendoza said it's all systems go for Tuesday's canvassing.
Ready na tayo, ready na yung house ano, sa canvassing next week. The meeting yesterday naman was a debriefing lang yung team sa mga members natin, no? Members ng canvassing committee ng part ng House.
7 members from each Houses of Congress will compose the Senate and the House of Representatives contingent to the canvassing, with equal number of alternates if any of the members will miss the joint session. Since the election returns and certificates of canvass are digital, canvassing is expected to be quick.
99.88% yata nung validation and yung pag-check nila, comparing it with the digital transmissions were actually accurate, no? So I think this election has been very transparent. Technology has helped us a lot, and participation of the people has been an all-time high. So we will give due course naman with what the people wanted, who they voted for.
Members also give the assurance all sides will be heard during the canvassing.
I think well represented naman ang lahat-lahat. If we have issues, I think it's more on the returns, then that will be entertained. Pero imaging issues kasi baka isama eh, no? Pero I think we will stick to the canvassing lang.
Senate Majority Leader Juan Miguel Zubiri assures there will be a new Senate leader by June 30 to prevent instability and a constitutional crisis if the canvassing is stopped. The Supreme Court en banc is currently on recess and will resume on June 14. On Thursday, the SC has asked the Marcoses camp, COMELEC, Senate, and the House of Representatives to comment on the petition to cancel Marcos's COC. COMELEC says they will comply and will file their comment accordingly. The lawyer for the civic leaders who filed the petition hope the High Court will resolve the issue expeditiously since it involves public interest. The canvassing is expected to be over in 3 days and the new president and vice president proclaimed by May 27. Zandro Ochona, ABS-CBN News.
The poll body expects to proclaim all the winning party list groups on May 25. Let's hear more from RG Cruz.
Good afternoon, friends from the media.
The poll body reminds all 2022 election candidates, win or lose, they have until June 8 to file their statement of contributions and expenses. That's 30 days after the elections. A poll body spokesman says Republic Act 7166 requires this before winners can assume office on June 30. Those who fail to file face a fine of up to 30,000 pesos for the first time and 60,000 pesos for the second or subsequent time. That's aside from perpetual disqualification from office for repeat offenders. The disclosure must also be accurate as it will be examined since the SOSE is a notarized document, so lying in the SOSE can mean perjury. Those who exceed expenditure limits also face jail. The limit is 10 pesos per voter for presidential and VP candidates, 3 pesos per voter for other candidates. The amount goes up to 5 pesos per voter for independent candidates. Political parties can spend 5 pesos per voter.
They really have to submit envy. They really have to give proof that they had complied with the law. Higit po sa pagiging compliant sa batas. Ito po ay pagtalima ninyo sa ating mga politiko, lalong-lalo na kayong nanalong mga politiko, pagtalima po ito ninyo sa obligasyon ninyo sa bayan. Ipakita po ninyo kayo ay compliant.
The COMELEC and Bank will resume its work as the National Board of Canvassers for the partylist elections after the May 24 special elections in Tubaran, Lanao del Sur. But they may no longer wait for the results from Shanghai, China, which has yet to hold elections because of the pandemic lockdown. The COMELEC projects that results in Lanao del Sur, which has over 685,000 voters, will make the 1,991 voters from Shanghai irrelevant to the partylist races. In the latest Canvas report, 6 party list groups already have 1 guaranteed seat because they have about 2% of the total party list vote so far.
We are confident na baka naman yung 1,991 upon completion of Lanao del Sur ay hindi na makakaapekto, and then we could proceed hopefully on May 25 with the proclamation of the winning party list candidates complete na po. Anything is possible. Although we're confident na yung pong Lanao del Sur matatapos naman natin, so it's really not an issue, yung Shanghai na lang po. We really hope na yung 1,991 will not affect. But if the 1,991 will really be a factor, ang tingin naman po namin nasa bottom part yan. Sa bottom part. But again, projections are positive that it will not really affect.
12 verified complaints docketed and lodged at the COMELEC Law Department. In the meantime, the COMELEC Task Force Contra Bigay has close to 1,000 messages on its Facebook page on vote buying. 167 have been received via email, 88 are valid. 88 are valid reports, but only 49 have evidence. At the Comelec Law Department, there are 73 reports. 50 have been acted upon, including those in viral videos. Only 12 have ripened into verified complaints at the Law Department. Comelec appeals for complaints with evidence so these can go straight to prosecution, as mere tips would require further investigation first.
Ito po yung paulit-ulit naming hinihiling sa ating mga kababayan. Kung kayo po ay magbibigay sa amin ng informasyon, hiling po sana namin kung maaari gawin na po ito through an affidavit complaint para maikasa na po kagad yung preliminary investigation.
In its latest statistical report, voter turnout is at 83.11%, making it still the best voter turnout in history. The 2022 polls also supposedly has the lowest incidence of violence, just 27 since the election period began. Over 10,000 weapons have been confiscated under the gun ban, which will last until June 8. RG Cruz, ABS-CBN News.
And let's now get an update on the Parish Pastoral Council for Responsible Voting's count of the May 9 polls. Our correspondent Jackie Van Abbott now joins us with a story on that. Jackie, over to you.
Carmina, there's not much activity here at the arena, the command center at PPCRV today, as sorting and encoding is on a temporary break and they're waiting still for the ERs or copies of the election returns to be delivered here at the University of Santo Tomas, the command center of PPCRV. And as of yesterday, 81,000 of election returns were delivered here at the command center. That is out of 107,785 ERs from polling precincts. PPCRV is targeting 100% delivery of ERs, but it seems that some of the ERs may not make it here at the command center in time for the last day of operations at the University of Santo Tomas. More than 50,000 arrived here from Luzon, that's including NCR, more than 16,000 from Visayas, and almost 13,000 from Mindanao. That's almost 80% of the total ERs. They have audited and matched more than 60,000 ERs, which match with the results of the transparency server at 98.73. The more than 1% mismatch will undergo revalidation. And in the past few days, PPCRV has asked NAMFREL for support to revalidate the mismatched copies of ERs because some of the printed ERs are hard to read. And if there are more ERs that will be delivered to PPCRV beyond May 20, or Friday, that's today, the PPCRV will then audit these additional ERs at their original command center at Pope Pius Catholic at the UN Avenue here in Manila. Hermina?
Thanks a lot, Jackie Manabat. They are joining us live. And back here in the newsroom, the International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines says the country's May 9 polls failed to meet the criteria for free and fair elections. The ICHRP, along with other groups that made up the International Observer Mission, cited incidents of political killings, large-scale red tagging, and various forms of vote buying throughout the election campaign season until the day ballots were cast. The IOM said the local partner, Contradaya, received around 9,000 election complaints, nearly half of which have already been verified. The group also slammed the vote counting machine glitches, which they say affected the confidence of the public on the outcome of the elections.
The last Philippine election was marred by widespread irregularities and violence, which undermined the democratic process. The elections took place in the most repressive context since the time of dictator Marcos.
It is actually difficult for voters to be confident in election proceedings marred by machine errors and breakdowns, as these cast doubt on the capacity of the machine to count their votes.
But Malacanang just brushed off these criticisms, insisting the elections were clean and fair. Acting presidential spokesperson Martin Andanar says they will leave it up to the Philippine Election Commission to disprove the allegations. In other news, the Commission on Human Rights' latest report on the drug war situation in the country is not rehashed. Former Commissioner Gwen Pimentel Gana, whose term ended earlier this month, says the scathing assessment of the bloody anti-drug campaign is a continuation of an earlier study. Malacanang has dismissed the report, which shows government encouraging a culture of impunity is a rehash of old issues.
It's not a rehash because actually we released a partial investigation report last year, but this is a continuation of a report on the national perspective or scale, because at the first, the initial report was concentrating on cases in Region 3 and Region 4A and the NCR. Now the release is about the whole EJK cases in the country. So it's not a rehash. And what is alarming there is that we have actually confirmed the findings in the previous results with the findings that we have when we look at the whole picture of what happened in the whole country. I'm just sad that they're saying that they're as if that nothing happened. I think it's about time that government, of course, realize that in the perspective of human rights, you know, when you look at the lens of human rights, the drug war has led to a lot of numerous individuals dying under suspicious circumstances.
Ghana is hoping for improvements in the implementation of the drug war under the incoming administration.
We're just hoping that they will recalibrate their approach to the problem, to the drug problem. Now, I see that if they are really serious in pursuing the justice is served, they should continue with the investigations of these victims and the cases already pending. And they should actually continue to review the cases and then bring to justice the perpetrators. It's their obligation, because this drug war has actually lost, had so many deaths of innocent individuals.
We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, Taiwan sees a major spike in its daily COVID infections. Details when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we are back. We're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Presidential race front runner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. will seek the junking of the cases seeking to nullify his looming electoral victory before the Supreme Court. A former official of the Commission on Human Rights refutes Malacanang's statement. Its latest report on the country's drug war situation was rehashed. Taiwan sees an explosion in new COVID-19 cases. And the reopening of more countries again raises fears of an exodus of healthcare workers from the Philippines. The U.S. Congress approves a nearly $40 billion military and humanitarian aid package for Ukraine. The bill, previously passed by the House of Representatives, hurdled the Senate by an overwhelming 86-11 vote. It now heads to President Joe Biden's desk for signature. The latest aid package brings the total U.S. assistance to Ukraine to more than $50 billion since Russia began its invasion in February. Meanwhile, the Group of Seven has agreed to provide $18.4 billion to help Ukraine's recovery efforts. More pledges also came Thursday as the U.S. authorized $100 million in additional U.S. arms, equipment and supplies for Kyiv. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken accuses Russia of using food as a weapon in its war in Ukraine. During a speech before the United Nations Security Council, Blinken said Russia is holding hostage supplies for not just Ukrainians, but also millions around the world. He also appealed to Russia to stop blockading Ukrainian ports. A senior official in Moscow later rejected the allegation, saying Russians would not export food while being subject to tough sanctions.
Nope. The decision to weaponize food is Moscow's and Moscow's alone. Don't take my word for it. Even Dmitry Medvedev, the deputy chairman of Russia's Security Council, former Russian president, recently said that Russia's agricultural products were, and I quote, its quiet weapon, end quote.
The war in Ukraine has caused global prices for grains, cooking oil, fuel, and fertilizer to soar. The UN is trying to broker a deal to allow Ukraine to resume food exports to tame world commodity prices. In other news, Canada is banning Chinese telco giants Huawei and ZTE from its 5G wireless networks. Providers who have already who already have the equipment installed will also be required to cease their use and remove them. Canada's industry minister says telcos will not be permitted to include in their networks products and services that put national security at risk. The U.S. has warned of the security implications of giving Chinese tech companies access to key telecommunications infrastructure that could be used for espionage. Canada had been reviewing the matter for several years, repeatedly delaying a decision that was first expected in 2019. The move comes on the heels of a diplomatic row over Canada's detention of a senior Huawei executive on a U.S. warrant, which has since been resolved. Sri Lanka defaults on its debt for the first time in its history as the country struggles with its worst financial crisis in more than 70 years. A 30-day period to repay $78 million of unpaid debt interest expired on Wednesday. The governor of the central bank said the country is now in a preemptive default. Sri Lanka's economy has been hit hard by the pandemic, rising energy prices and populist tax cuts. A chronic shortage of foreign currency and soaring inflation had led to a severe shortage of medicine, fuel and other essentials. Sri Lanka has been declared or has declared a holiday for schools and urged government employees not to report for work due to the prevailing fuel shortage in the country. But Prime Minister Ranil Wickramasinghe has indicated the fuel crisis may ease during the weekend. The number of new COVID-19 cases in Taiwan on the rise once again. Daily infections in the country have topped 90,000 for the first time after the island abandoned its zero COVID strategy. This brings the total number of cases there to over a million since the start of the pandemic. 59 deaths have also been reported, most of whom were unvaccinated. Authorities are now ramping up testing to curb the spread of the virus. Health experts say a possible spike in infections brought about by the Omicron subvariant, especially in areas with low vaccination rates, Rafael Bosano reports.
Even if the local chief executive of Iloilo City has reported that the three individuals found to have been infected by the BA.2.12.1 Omicron sublineage are now negative for the disease, utmost caution must still be exercised by the public. That's according to the Philippine College of Physicians.
Ang problem kasi diyan will be yung mga taong na-expose.
Okay.
No? So, kasi doon, during the time na ginawa yan, maaaring patapos na yung, ano, yung infection. Okay. So, but it doesn't mean na hindi siya nagkalat sa iba. I-expect natin by this time, yung contact tracing na yan ay well-established na sa lahat ng mga LGUs natin.
Dr. Limpin says they are now looking at data to determine if there is a rise in hospital admissions as well as the condition of infected patients.
At least mga two or three doctors yung nagsabi, no, may mga intubated ngayon. At kadalasan yung mga intubated, ito yung mga immunocompromised. No? So nananawagan ho kami sa ating kababayan, kung ayaw ho natin magkaroon tayo ng severe COVID, ano,
okay,
na siyang nagiging dahilan ng pagkamatay ng mga tao, eh, tayo po ay kumuha ng ating booster shots.
Infectious disease specialist Dr. Ronjin Solante agrees. If a person is already vaccinated, boosted, and has no underlying conditions, the chances of severe disease is low. But he is quick to point out a possible rise in new infections remains a possibility, especially in areas with low vaccination rates.
It's more transmissible than the original Omicron variant. Now, if this will occur in a population, especially in regions na talagang mababa ang vaccination rate, siguro mas mahigitan pa natin ang mga 500 na nakikita natin before, no? And that's what we are going to monitor.
Fortunately, doctors say current numbers, especially that of hospital utilization rates, are not alarming compared to previous experiences with other variants of concern. However, The public is still encouraged to strictly follow measures that work against preventing transmission or getting severe disease. Rafael Bosano, ABS-CBN News.
The city of San Juan has begun administering second COVID boosters for the elderly and healthcare workers. Our very own Vivian Gulia now joins us with the latest from there. Viv, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. Dozens of senior citizens and health workers lined up to get their second booster shot against COVID-19 in San Juan as the city began expanding its rollout to the said priority groups this morning. Some of them expressed concern over the reported local transmission of the more infectious Omicron subvariant BA.2.12.1 and want to ensure that their protection against COVID remains high. San Juan City Mayor Francis Zamora says residents qualified to get a second booster will have to pre-register at the city's vaccine registration portal and wait for a text confirming their schedule before heading to the vaccination site. He explains this is to prevent crowding, as the city targets to jab with additional booster around 3,000 medical frontliners and 15,000 members of the elderly population who received their primary series in San Juan. Zamora says around 2,000 of them have already registered online. Adult medical frontliners and seniors are considered eligible for a second booster at least 4 months after receiving their first booster. For now, only Pfizer's COVID vaccine is available to be administered as an additional booster in San Juan. But guidelines state that if a vaccination site also has a supply of Moderna's COVID jab, the vaccine recipient has the option to use it as additional booster. Eligible residents should bring their vaccination card and valid ID. Navota City also started administering second booster shots to the A1 and A2 priority groups this morning. The local government says eligible individuals may walk in without an appointment at vaccination sites other than the Navota City Hospital and Tumana Health Center. In Pasig City, eligible medical frontliners and elderly population may get their additional booster shot at the Pasig City Sports Complex beginning today. Carmina, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Viv. Take care and keep safe. And back here in the newsroom, the Philippine General Hospital concerned more Filipino healthcare professionals will now look for jobs abroad. That says opportunities for them in other countries open up for them. The Philippines had to limit the number of health workers seeking employment abroad amid the pandemic.
Open po ang maraming bandertos. Madami po kami nakikita mga resignation ngayon. Yung mga skilled po talaga sila po ang aming problema. At in fact, ang PGH po ay nananawagan sa mga nurses dyan na mag-apply po. Marami po kaming bakante ngayon. Hindi lang po sa ICU or operating room, pati po sa mga wards.
Well, news now on the Southeast Asian Games. The Philippines men's basketball team, Gilas Pilipinas, continues to annihilate the competition. Gilas defeated host Vietnam Thursday night 88-60, giving them a perfect 4-0 record. So far, the only team to give the National C-Stiff Challenge was Thailand, who lost to Gilas by just 3 points. If Gilas sweeps its last two games against Malaysia and Indonesia, the Philippines will once again take home the gold. Here's the thing, though. Despite Gilas' perfect record, there have been calls online to replace head coach Chot Reyes. Coach Chot now joins us for his reaction. Chot, good afternoon from Manila. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Carmina. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm good. I mean, I was just over Twitter and I saw the tweets. Where is this bashing coming from?
Well, thankfully, I'm logged off, so I'm not seeing any of these tweets because it is our practice here every time it's tournament time that we log off social media. So I'm not seeing those tweets, but obviously some of my members of my family, my wife, they're seeing all these deep tweets. So I really have no idea where it's coming from, you know how it is. That's just the life of a basketball coach here in our country.
But do you think it has something to do with the recently concluded elections and your support for another candidate?
Well, I haven't considered that at all. Everything is possible, of course. But like I said, you know, those who who have legitimate concerns. You know, I understand everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but I think a lot of the other bashing might be coming from, you know, unknown sources or trolls. And you know, as you know, it's not worth spending our time or energy over.
What's worth talking about, though, is the performance of the boys. I mean, congratulations for really inspire them as well and leading them. Tell us about what got you here and tell us about how the boys have been faring there in the games.
Well, it was a difficult process for us because four of our original members at the last minute, due to injury or personal reasons, had to back out. So we had to replace them with some members who are now here with us. That's number one. Number two, the rest of Southeast Asia has really caught up. A lot of the team here, a lot of the teams here have foreign players as well. And their level of play, the kind of coaching has really improved by leaps and bounds. So in the past, all we had to do here at the Southeast Asian Games was to show up. Now, it's no longer the case. Like I said, our Southeast Asian nation neighbors have caught up, and it's really demanding the best of us to be competitive and keep our heads above water here at the Southeast Asian Games.
And to show up during this time of the pandemic, how has that affected your coaching strategy, the boys' games? Tell us more about that.
Very different from the past. A lot of our discussions coming in was this is going to be a test of our flexibility and our agility and our adaptability. And yeah, we've seen that. We came here, we thought we would get a couple of good practices, only to find out we were only given 30 minutes practice time. So,
wow.
You know, so I mean, it's not only us, all the other teams, to be fair. So, like I said, that's something we're not used to. So we just had to constantly adapt and adjust. And the way we used to do things in the past is very different from the way we prepare and compete now in this time of pandemic. Because there are a lot of restrictions. But like I said, we're coping as well as we can.
You know, reading through the tweets as well, some are calling for your resignation. And this isn't the first time you've been asked to step down as Gila's head coach. So what gives? Are you used to this by now? Do you just really ignore this at this point?
Yeah, well, I've always said I never applied for this job. I never volunteered for this job. But I was appointed and given this mandate by the Samahang Basketball ng Pilipinas leadership. And I've always said in the past, I will never turn my back to the call of flag and country. And this is the only way I know how to serve my country. I'm not a politician with millions of constituents, nor am I a business tycoon employing thousands of people. All I am is a basketball coach. And the only way I know how to serve my country is by coaching the national team, even if we all know, as you can see now, how thankless the job is. But still, I have been assigned to do this, and I'm going to do this to the best of my knowledge. And I serve the Basketball Federation as well as the Filipino people.
Well, just so you know, there may be those who continue to bash you and continue to criticize you, but there are many others who are supportive of you and are really appreciative of the work that you do. A while ago, you did say that in the past games, you just go there, you just show up. Guess who else showed up? Experts, analysts are showing up saying that they're picking Gilas to sweep the whole tournament en route to the goal. Do you feel the same way?
I'd like to be as confident as the others, but we really have to be wary of Indonesia. They have a legitimate NBA player, Marcus Bolden, who hasn't been playing so far, but we're suspecting that they might be reserving him for our game on Sunday. So they're keeping him under wraps, and that's going to be our biggest test, I think. As tough as it has been so far, I think the toughest is going to be on Sunday. And Indonesia is well coached. We all know Coach Raiko Toroman, very good Serbian coach. They have another foreign Indonesian player who is part of the NBA Global Academy. So they have some size and they have some talent on that team. So like I said, we hope for the support and prayers. And speaking of the support, that's just what keeps me going, that the knowledge that in spite of all the haters and the bashers, that there's still a lot of supporters. They may be not as noisy as the others, but we know they're there, and that keeps us going.
Well, Coach, you're two wins away from getting that goal. What's the game plan? And what are you telling the boys at this point?
We're just, first of all, today we just came from practice. We have no game today. So we have games tomorrow and Sunday. So we're keeping them to just tune everything out and focus on the task at hand. And right now the task is to prepare ourselves to come out and play well tomorrow versus Malaysia, preparatory to the gold medal match against Indonesia on Sunday.
All right. Well, good luck to you and the rest of the team. We appreciate you joining us despite your hectic schedule there at the Games. Thanks a lot, Gilas Pilipinas head coach Chot Reyes there joining us this afternoon. Take care. Keep safe.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to take a break now. Still ahead, the ABS-CBN News Channel wins big at this year's Gawad Tanglaw Awards. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC.
The biggest news, the most compelling stories, and issues that matter to you. Top Story, Monday to Saturday at 5 p.m. here on ANC. Protect yourself during an earthquake. Duck, cover, and hold. Stay away from windows, light fixtures, or furniture that may fall on you. Get under a sturdy table and hold on until the shaking stops. If you're outdoors, stay away from trees, electrical wires and poles, and other structures that may collapse. If you're driving, pull over to a shoulder and don't attempt to cross a bridge or overpass. When in a coastal area, move quickly to higher ground. Monitor the news. Arm yourself with information. A friendly reminder from ANC.
And welcome to Cityscape here in Zimbabwe. With less crowded national parks, huge concentration of wildlife, and some of the friendliest people in Africa, Zimbabwe is a must-visit safari destination. So join me as we take you on an African adventure.
Catch all these and more on a brand new episode of Cityscape only here on ANC.
Back. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Let's get an outlook on the weather today for the weekend from ABS-CBN resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas. Ariel, tell us, should we expect a rainy Friday?
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina. It's going to be a wet weekend, especially here in Luzon. So our familia will have to do their laundry very early. Today, Friday, southwesterly surface winds will bring heavy rains in the Ilocos region, Cordillera, and central Luzon this afternoon. Afternoon and evening thunderstorms are also expected in Metro Manila and over most of Mindanao today. Tomorrow, Saturday, intense afternoon and evening thunderstorms will drench Ilocos region, Cordillera, Cagayan Valley, central Luzon, Palawan, and Mindanao. And on Sunday, the entire Luzon, including Mindoro and Palawan, will have thunderstorms, as well as in Panay, Negros, and Palawan. The public is warned against flash flooding flooding, especially in Mindanao and in urban areas here in Luzon, and landslides, especially in northern Luzon. Here in Metro Manila, expect longer sunny periods this weekend, although there will still be cloudiness and rain showers. No weather disturbance is seen to affect the country until next week. That's the update on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Happy weekend and stay safe, everyone. And back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ariel. Take care and keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, in business, Philippine regulators gain more tools to protect victims of smishing and other financial fraud schemes with the enactment of the Financial Consumer Protection Law. Our very own Warren de Guzman with the full story.
Smishing attacks are text and call scams designed to get the personal information of victims so criminals can gain access to emails, bank accounts, and cash and other assets. Almost everyone has been exposed to these smishing attempts in the Philippines, and sadly, it happens quite often.
Oo, nanalo daw ako ng malaking halaga. Eh, china-challenge ko naman siya, ibibigay ko na yung kalahati sa kanya. Ayaw naman pumayag.
May mga text sa akin, minsan may tawag pa nga eh. Eh, di ko na sinasod kasi alam ko mga manluloko yung mga tao nun. Kaya ganun ginagawa, di ko na nireplyan.
The Philippine Central Bank says it is now armed with the right tools to help guard against cyber attacks and financial fraud following the signing into law of the Financial Products and Services Consumer Protection Act, or FCPA. Governor Ben Jokno says regulators now have more tools and teeth to help victims of such crimes, especially when it comes to compelling banks and other institutions to reimburse victims and protect data privacy.
It applies to all financial products and services offered by any financial service provider, including digital financial products or services, savings, deposit, insurance, pre-need and HMO products, investments, payments, remittance, and investment advisors. Financial regulators can adjudicate all actions in a summary hearing when the complaint involves payment or reimbursement of money. This includes subpoena, contempt, and executory powers. It compels financial service providers to respect the privacy and protect the data of their clients, consistent with the country's Data Privacy Act.
In the past, if a bank or institution finds it had no fault in a cybercrime perpetrated on its customer, it could easily decline to reimburse the victim, even if the money was spirited away through the said financial institution's online systems. Now, victims can ask the BSP and other regulators to compel their financial service providers to reimburse losses. Before the FCPA, the next step would be to take the complaint to court. But because this process is long, tedious, and expensive, most victims never follow through. Bankfraud.ph is a group that has helped dozens of victims of cyber fraud and financial scams go after large financial institutions for neglect or faulty security systems, which allowed their money to be stolen. It is calling for the FCPA to be implemented immediately and is even hoping it can be implemented retroactively so victims of past crimes and declined reimbursements might benefit. Meanwhile, the National Privacy Commission says it is close to finalizing its investigation into the proliferation of smishing attacks. It is encouraging all victims to file a formal complaint with the NPC to help strengthen their case. An important reminder, always take care of your personal information, including details such as birth date, as well as copies of documents such as birth certificates and government IDs. Never click or open suspicious links, emails, or websites, especially if they came from unknown sources. Warren de Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
The regional wage boards of Ilocos, Cagayan Valley, and Caraga have approved an increase in the daily minimum wage of workers. In Ilocos, an increase of between 60 and 90 pesos was approved in 2 to 3 tranches. This will raise the minimum wage range in Ilocos to between 372 and 400 pesos. Cagayan Valley's wage board also approved a 50 to 75 peso wage hike, bringing the region's minimum wage rate to up to 420 pesos. The wage board in Caraga, meanwhile, agreed to a 30 peso wage hike, raising the monthly minimum rate to 350 pesos. The orders will be submitted to the National Wages Productivity Commission for review and will take effect 15 days after publication in a newspaper of regional circulation. The Philippine Trade Department says it has started preparing for an orderly transfer of power to the next set of officials under the new administration. DTI Undersecretary Ruth Castello hopes the incoming administration will continue their existing programs aimed at helping Filipinos recover from the COVID-19 pandemic.
Lahat kami, lahat ng function groups po dito sa DTI, nag-submit kami ng mga major programs and accomplishments ng each function group. Nasa PMS na rin po, sa Presidential Management Staff, meron din po kaming sarili dito sa DTI para matulungan si Secretary Lopez na ma-brief yung bago pong papasok na Secretary. So, ready naman po kami anytime kung ipatawag kami ng bagong magiging Secretary natin or kung kailangan mag-briefing kami, ready po ang DTI. But very importantly, Yusek, yung mga existing programs natin na nakita natin na malaking benefit para sa bansa, itutuloy po rin natin and we'll make the recommendations, necessary recommendations po sa bagong secretary para ituloy talaga at masuportahan yung mga programa.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk assures investors the electric car company is on his mind 24/7 despite his highly publicized Twitter acquisition plans. Tesla shares have lost one-third of their value since Musk disclosed his stake in Twitter in early April on worries that he has become too distracted. Billionaire Leo Kogan, who claims to be the third largest individual shareholder of Tesla stock, is even calling on the carmaker to announce a $15 billion stock buyback as the company's share price continues to fall. Tesla has yet to comment on the matter, but on Twitter, Musk tried to soothe investor worries by saying he's actually only spending less than 5% of his time on the Twitter deal. In sports, the Boston Celtics bounced back in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals in a big way. Boston Crews passed the Miami Heat in Game 2, 127-102, to level their best-of-seven series. Unlike in Game 1, where the Celtics established a big lead only to falter in the second half, Boston never lost concentration after building another huge advantage in Game 2. All-star Jason Tatum top-scored for the Celtics with 27 points, while Marcus Smart returned from a one-game absence to finish with a near-triple-double. The series now shifts to Boston for the next two games. In more SEA Games news, the Philippines pockets the gold in the nine-ball billiards competition in the 31st Southeast Asian Games. Johan Chua earned the top prize in the all-Filipino finals, but as Diane Castillejo tells us, it was billiards legend Efren Batarias who was getting all the love in Hanoi.
Billiards is one of the most popular sports in Vietnam. At the Southeast Asian Games, the billiards venue is usually packed and every shot applauded. In the all-Filipino final game between Johan Chua and U.S. Open champion Carlo Biado, Vietnamese fans cheered for both players. Chua ended up the champion, upsetting the favorite, Biado. They added gold and silver medals for the Philippines.
Sobrang di ko po talaga mapigil yung kaba dahil nga talaga ito yung unang pinangarap namin ng dad ko po na mapanalunan. Talagang kanina, talagang every chance po na meron na may chance, binibigay ko talaga yung best ko.
But clearly, the star of the Southeast Asian Games billiards competition is the magician, Efren Bata Reyes. At 67 years old, Reyes is the oldest player in the SEA Games. He has been receiving rock star status at the venue. In the one carom single semifinals, which he lost, he was still loudly cheered by the Vietnamese crowd. Even if his opponent was from Vietnam, the respect and honor for Bata was definitely there. Organizers had to add security whenever he moved around the venue because of the supporters who crowded him.
Hindi ko alam, napapanood pa nila pala ako sa YouTube. At alas, tapos pinakikita nga share ko nila, bumuksan sa, we here? At yung mga security, gusto mo po, lahat sila pa-picture din.
Bata was constantly requested for interviews, signatures, and photos by fans. This one fan even drew a portrait of Bata and was determined to have his billiard idol sign it.
Can you give a sign for me, for me? It's a picture? Yeah.
Although he beat Efren, his opponent was all praises for his billiard hero. The Vietnamese opponent was 40 years younger.
He is very excited when we meet the magician at the legends of the billiards.
Reyes settled for the bronze, but he will surely leave Vietnam a winner. Diane Castillejo, ABS-CBN News, Hanoi, Vietnam.
And before we go, the ABS-CBN News channel wins big at this year's Gawad Tanglaw Awards. Top Story's Ron Cruz was named Best TV News Anchor, while Head Start was recognized as Best Public Affairs Program. Head Start's Karen Davila also received a special jury award for broadcast journalism. And yours truly was bestowed the Kantimpalang Dr. Debbie Francisco Dianco para sa Sining ng Pagmadlang Komunikasyon Award. Thanks again to all those who are part of the Gawad Tanglaw Awards. The ceremony was held Thursday in Quezon City. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.